Hello and welcome to Money Wisdom. I'm John Stillman alongside Eric Hogarth, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. Eric, always a pleasure. How are you this week?
I'm doing fantastic, John. How are you?
Doing wonderfully. Always good to get your wisdom. And I'm glad that you were able to take a break from, you know, maneuvering your fantasy football team to come talk to us for a minute. So
yeah,
you know, it's a busy time of year for you.
Oh, yeah. Very important stuff. And what's neat is, so I have my friends I've been friends with, well, my whole life, that we had our draft yesterday. But now my 8-year-old, and today is his first day of school, starting third grade. First thing he asked me this morning, I said, Parker, you ready for school, buddy? Excited? And he said, Dad, who'd you pick first in the draft yesterday? So it is fun that he also was not big into my pick. So
yeah,
that was a humbling moment. But it's very neat that I can enjoy it with him, just like the Yukon Huskies.
That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is you have infected the next generation with the same problematic lifestyle. So, you know, it's all in your perspective. In any case, I'm glad you made some time for us between drafting and roster moves. So, hot topic of the day for a lot of people, of course, is student loan forgiveness. What's your take on all of that? And, of course, if you've been living under some kind of rock, it's, you know, $10,000 forgiveness for just about anybody under certain income levels, up to $20,000 of loan forgiveness if you have Pell Grants. Are you hearing anything from clients about it? Probably, you know, related to their kids and or grandkids.
Yeah.
Are you hearing anything from clients? And just in general, what's your take?
I mean, what gets talked about for as long as time when it comes to secondary education is how expensive it is. Are students really getting value out of it? I went to UConn. I mean, it had a huge impact positively on my life, but for others who perhaps don't know what they want to do can wind up with massive amounts of debt and, worst case scenario, no degree and no direction. So it comes up in conversation often with clients in regards to their kids or, John, like you said, their grandkids, is you've got this big debt. Are you going to earn money as a result of it? And now people have been over the past couple of years here, well, maybe I don't pay that because what if I pay it and then it gets forgiven? Was that a mistake?
Yeah. Perverse incentives, I think they call that.
That's a good way to say it. I mean, it's you got to make good financial decisions regardless of – let's just keep it simple. Make good financial decisions, which is this the right move, this – college, or maybe we go to a community college. But on a larger scope, people see it as, well, okay, now this money's going to get forgiven. Well, who's paying it? Sounds like probably it's going to be us paying it. By us, I mean taxpayers. So that's is something you've, you know, we always have to be looking at that, right? And there's so much more flexibility you have even in retirement. It's not just about making money or growing money. Of course, it's about keeping money. And if we're going to introduce, well, now things are going to get forgiven, well, the money's just not getting printed out of thin air. And even if it is, that's going to impact your personal finances in other ways, and it might have you paying more money. So we got to look at how it's going to impact those things.
And I'm sure, Eric, you've probably had to have some tough conversations with clients around the college decision, where maybe you have a family that wants to send their kids to $60,000 a year Georgetown, but maybe financially that doesn't make sense for the family, and you have to sort of have that tough conversation of, you know, maybe a state school for your four kids would make more sense than a very expensive private school. And, you know, sometimes being a good financial advisor means having those uncomfortable conversations. I'm interested to dive into some of the other non-college related tough conversations that you have and how you navigate some of these things. Like, for instance, how does the death of the first spouse affect the financial plan? That's not a conversation you have after a spouse has died. That's something you have when you're beginning the planning process, hopefully many years before the first spouse dies. But you have to talk about it, and it's uncomfortable for most people to discuss. So how do you navigate that?
And you absolutely have to have that conversation when you still have options. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of things we procrastinate because, well, I don't really need to do that today. But you need to do it at some point, and you need to do it when you still have time to enact some change on this stuff. Like we talk about this every day, you know, and it's not the easiest conversation to have, and by no means is a fun conversation, but it's a really, really important conversation because if there's two of you, you're not asking the question of, you know, I just want to make sure that one of us is going to be okay for the rest of our lives. It's the question of how can we make sure that we're both going to be okay for the rest of our lives, whomever is living longer. And that has these repercussions over all these different decisions you have to make, from healthcare, from investments, from Social Security, from when you're going to retire, all that stuff. And, you know, the question of how does it affect the financial plan, we can work with that. The emotional side of it is something that no level of planning is really going to prepare you. So one thing that you could do to help yourself in that really unfortunate situation of a spouse passing away, particularly if that's prematurely unexpected, is to make sure the finances are in order. So it's one less thing that you have to worry about in that very difficult time.
Yeah, like not the thing you want to be trying to figure out in the middle of your grief is how do I pay the mortgage next month? So
yeah.
Another tough conversation that I know you've had to have with folks is what happens if nursing home care is needed? And again, this is not a conversation you have when someone's health is already bad. It's at the beginning of the planning process. Let's think down the road to this unpleasant possibility. And how are we going to pay for that nursing home care or assisted living or in-home health care, whatever it is? How are we going to pay for that? How do you navigate those conversations when most people would rather just say, well, that feels like it's 20 years down the road. I'd rather not talk about it.
Or the big one when you talk about a nursing home long-term care insurance is the immediate. You know, if I say, what do you think about long-term care insurance? Almost 10 out of 10 people are like, it's too expensive.
Yeah.
It's really expensive. What it protects against costs a lot of money. You know, long-term care insurance doesn't cost as much of a nursing home, and you will certainly, for lack of a better word, not get a hard sell from me or any of the advisors that we've got to buy long-term care. The reality is it's some people should have it and some people shouldn't or don't want it. But it's an option that you have. And if you procrastinate that conversation long enough, it is an option that you don't have because you will have waited too long and now it's cost prohibitive. Same thing. Well, What if I use a trust? What if I put my house in my daughter's name? You know, you wait long enough, these aren't going to be options. People say, well, what about a 5-year look back? Well, is that a big deal when you're 60? Not really. What about when you're 90? You know, so you're going to have to make these decisions, these things that we're talking about. Like, you will be met with these decisions. So, you know, get good advice, good support from people that have experience with this, get different perspectives, but have that conversation, make that decision so you can move forward and stop talking about it.
Let's suppose somebody comes in to visit with you for the first time. Maybe they think they're a year or two from retiring, and you're looking at the numbers and saying, guys, you probably need to work another 3, 4, 5, maybe more years than that. That's a tough conversation to have with people. How do you explain to somebody, look, you probably need to be working a little longer than you planned? And how often does that happen?
It really doesn't happen that often. But this is perhaps the least popular conversation that I have. The reason it doesn't happen that often is most people I find are in a better financial position than they think they are. But there's like a whole bunch of stuff going on with what they've done. There's a bunch of complexity. People come in, they say, well, you know, we've been trying to save money. We've been doing a long time. Kind of feel like I got stuff all over the place. I don't really feel like I have a plan. I don't even really know how to take money out when I retire. And, you know, that's why we talk about this money map all the time, is let's get it on one page and let's start with the basics. How much money do you have? And then you get into, well, how much income do you need? You know, I remember a couple that I met with a long time ago. They had sold their business, which was a gas station. They had sold their house and moved into a ranch, all on one floor. They were 48 years old. They had no kids, and they wanted to retire. So they were ahead of their time, you know, one floor living at 48. And I said, well, how much money do you need to live on? And they said, well, we've already done the math. I said, well, great. What's the number? They said $1,350 a month. And I said, oh, like each or total? And they're like, total. And I'm like, that seems low. And they showed me their budget, and the budget only had four things on it. It was electricity, taxes, Comcast, and their oil bill.
All good things to pay, but probably not the only things you're going to pay to have a fruitful life.
I mean, you probably should have put food on there. I mean, if I'm being nitpicky here. And not to poke fun, these guys, these folks, they actually did retire at 48. And we had to tweak their budget a bit. They couldn't do it on $1,350, but they could do it on a very low number. It's less than $2,000 a month. And, you know, I think fondly on that story because a lot of people are like, well, that's I couldn't live on that. Well, it wasn't your life. Well, the priority for them was retiring when they retired. But it's important to have this conversation before you retire because people run the gamut. There's a lot of people that say, well, I just need $5,000 a month, and I'm talking to them 6 months later, and they're spending $10,000 a month. So, you know, there's some things around this, you know, when can retire? And the reason it's not the most popular conversation, people are like, I've worked hard. I've worked a real long time. I deserve to retire. The unpopular reality is not everyone gets to retire. It depends on what your needs are and what your situation is. So have that conversation when you have options. Don't quit your job and then ask me if you should have.
Yeah. Not the time to be asking that question. What about the tough conversation of maybe people wondering, do our children understand our estate plan and how they fit into it, if at all? A lot of people just don't like talking with the kids and grandkids about how much money they have, how much money they'll be passing down. How do you help people navigate those family generational wealth conversations?
Yeah, this is such an interesting topic, and it's you and I were talking about it not too long ago, and it's also dependent upon the generation. Like if you have a Great Depression era parent, right, who's getting up there in years now, they do not talk about this stuff with their kids. And their kids' generation, well, they talk about it some. And a lot of times kids, you know, dismiss it. I don't want to talk about that. You're going to live forever. The reality is later in life, a concern that people will have, I have found, once they're past the phase of are we going to have enough money and they're having a great retirement and they're not running out of money is, well, being forced to spend their money on things they don't want to, like lack of control. That's usually taxes and healthcare. But also it's their kids, it's their family making mistakes. And it's not inheriting money and, you know, buying a Ferrari. It's just making mistakes because you don't know. You know, and that's where people should really get advice when someone passes away, is it can make a huge difference how you move money. You know, well, this one had no taxes. This one had taxes on the entire thing. This one, I got a penalty. And it's like, this stuff doesn't cost any money. It's easily avoidable stuff. You just don't know what you don't know. So I personally think later on in life, it's important to get your kids involved. That conversation doesn't have to involve numbers and values if you don't want to. But again, you know, that's why I'm an advocate that people need to get a will, and a lot of folks should have an estate plan beyond that as well.
One final thing we'll cover in this heading of tough conversations that people have to have related to their financial plan is this question of how do we separate from an advisor who we like as a person? Eric, we've decided we would like to start working with you. We want you to be our financial advisor. But we like this other guy. We've just realized now that he's not a good fit for us, or maybe he never was a good fit, but we like him. So how do we separate that relationship?
This comes up often. You know, if your doctor was your best friend in the entire world, but the medicine that they were giving you was actively killing you, what would you do? You know, that's kind of the extreme version of it. But, you know, and you know, the goal is to be friends with everyone that we work with. We're fortunate to be in a position that if, you know, our requirements are, you know, can we help you? Do you want our help? You know, and you know, are you nice? It's like, you know, I hope that you're friends with your advisor, but their job and their responsibility is to be a good fiduciary and be there for you on this stuff. So you got to be able to separate the two, because there's also just different phases of life. Maybe the person that you worked with and you've worked with them a long time did a great job of growing that chunk of money that you have, but that was based on you working and saving and never taking anything out. Now you're about to stop working, stop saving, and start spending. That's a whole new world. You know, there's also something that comes into play that, you know, well, we have our advisor and they're great, but they're just one person. And sometimes we have to wait a real long time to get a response. And what happens if they go on vacation or if they get hit by a bus, as people say? I mean, you want to be with a group, so it's not reliant just on one person. Things change and needs change. And if they're a friend, you'll be friends before and after this. And if they're no longer a friend as a result of you moving things away, then I don't know how good of a friend that relationship was.
Yeah. Well, bottom line is, if you're working with an advisor who's not willing to have these difficult conversations with you to help you through some of these tough things that you need to address in your financial plan, that person is really not doing you any favors. And if you'd like to go through the Money Map Retirement Review to get an understanding of, you know, what sort of holes you might have in your plan that you may not even realize, but also understanding, Eric, as you said earlier, most people are actually in better shape than they think. If somebody wants to go through that Money Map Retirement Review, what does it look like and how do we make it happen?
You know, and I'll, great question. I'll answer in a moment. Another one that comes up, I'm thinking about these tough conversations, and a conversation that I really enjoy having with people is, a lot of people are on a track not to run out of money, but to die with a whole bunch of it. And you didn't save this money your entire life to be, you know, to spend retirement full of anxiety and fear over spending anything. And I'm not advocating you take out money just willy-nilly for nothing, but that's one of those conversations that it's easier to tell a client, well, yeah, just don't spend money, because your advisor's terrified that they're going to give you bad advice and you're going to run out of money. I like having that conversation, because however you want to live life, you saved this money and made those good financial positions to put you in a position where you could retire. And you could do that, whatever that is. He was talking to a client today, lives up in Maine, and she said her favorite thing to do, she's part of a mountainside gardening club, which sounded fantastic, probably doesn't cost a lot of money. But I like talking to people who are doing the stuff that they always wanted to do. So back to the review. I just wanted to add that in. It starts with a conversation. I think it's important to get everything down on one page, because whether you're real savvy on this stuff or not at all, it is your money and your plan, and I want you to have the peace of mind to feel good that, okay, I know where I am and where I need to be, and maybe I'm there or maybe I'm not quite there, but to get that peace of mind. So what you can do to set up that consultation is you'll call 1-800-705-1232 and you'll leave a message. We'll call you back and we'll schedule that time. And that first visit is just getting to know each other, get a better understanding of what your situation is, where you want to be, what you've done, and then we'll go back, sit down with our group of advisors. There's 14 of us. We work together as a team on everything. We'll build that map. We'll meet with you again and say, this is what it looks like to us, right? And you can't accomplish everything. Maybe everything's perfect, you know, and we say, hey, you're doing a great job. Things change in the future. You call us. But often there's things to work on, and you probably can't do it all at once, and you figure out what's most important to look at. And you start working on that. So whether the advice is stay the course or we've got things to work at, I think that'll give people a good peace of mind that they're in a good place or moving in the right direction, so you can stop being worried and concerned about things that are fixable. So again, that number is 1-800-705-1232, and we'll set that up for you.
Again, 800-705-1232 is the number to call or text if you'd like to go through the Money Map Retirement Review process for yourself. Again, no cost, no obligation. You'll get a free book out of it, as well as some knowledge, some peace of mind, and a better understanding of what's going on with your money right now and what decisions you need to be making moving forward. 800-705-1232 is the number to call. You're listening to Money Wisdom. Eric Hogarth is a certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. Time to open up the mailbag today, Eric, and see what kind of questions folks have for you. Let's go to Seth, who says, I've always given a few $100s to several different charities at the end of each year, but since the tax laws changed a few years ago, it seems that I don't really get a tax benefit now. Am I missing something here, or does it really not help my taxes anymore? And parenthetically, he says, yes, I realize there are other reasons to give to charity other than tax breaks.
Yeah, of course. And given any charity, any organization is a wonderful thing to be doing. At the same time, of course, if you're due to benefit from it, that's all the better. You know, no shame in saying, hey, am I missing something here? And there were some big changes from the perspective of charitable giving. And if you're someone who's, well, I like to give a little bit every year, some people have changed that after talking to their advisor or their accountant or both, to maybe give, instead of a little bit every year for 5 years, all that money at once to get a better tax benefit from it, and then wait again another few years and do a bigger chunk all at once. So that starts with just a conversation of what you're trying to accomplish, what you're doing, and are you being, lack of a better word, smart about how you're doing it to make sure you're taking advantage of every benefit that you're due. And always a wonderful thing to be giving. But also, you know, you deserve a benefit of that too if there's one available to you.
Yeah, it's a great example of sometimes tax laws change, the tax code changes, the tax brackets change, and sometimes people just don't adjust to that as well as they should. So, again, professional help is usually your friend in those areas. How about Rhonda, who says, I got a raise recently, and I want to be sure I put the money, the extra money, to good use instead of just going out to eat more often. Should I save more money for retirement or use it to pay extra on my mortgage? What do you think, Eric?
Rhonda, those are both good options, and smart to think of it. You know, you want to live life for today too, but yeah, you don't want to get a raise and say, hey, I have no more money at the end of the year because I just spent more money. Save more money for retirement, pay extra on my mortgage. Depends on what your situation is, but to dig in a little bit on that, are you getting a match on your retirement plan at work? If you're not getting the, you know, if there's a match available to you and you're not putting in enough money to get all the match, make sure you get all the match. And again, if you have a 401k plan or a plan at work and you're putting money in and they're not matching you, that does not mean that it is bad. It would be better if they were matching you, full disclosure there, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't put money in it. You know, that's, there's a reason a lot of people, their biggest plan in retirement is their plan at work, is because you just saved into it. You didn't tinker with it, let it run for a long time, and it worked great. Now, in regards to the mortgage, well, that opens up, well, are you going to live there forever? How long are you going to live there? What's the interest rate on your mortgage? How much of that mortgage is interest and how much of it is principal? And are you even itemizing your taxes in the first place? Rhonda, I know that that's a lot of bullet points there, but I could envision a scenario in which it makes more sense to put it in retirement, it makes more sense to pay off the mortgage, depending upon what your plans in retirement are, largely based on, are you going to stay in that house?
Again, great examples of things that really might have different answers for different people, right? I mean, you might have somebody who got a raise and you'd say, you know what, you should put that into retirement, and somebody else, you would say pay off the house. Even if it seems on the surface that they're in pretty similar places financially, that might not mean that the advice for them is the same. And yet another reason why the Money Map Retirement Review is a valuable process for you to go through. Eric, what are the top questions that people have for you when they come in for the Money Map Retirement Review?
The single biggest question is it enough? Is it going to work? Right? All of financial planning is effectively summed up into that one question. Is it enough? You know, and that gets into all those different routes that build up what that retirement plan is going to be, you know, relative to what is your Social Security going to be? Do you have a pension? Do you have debt? What did you save? What's the money invested into? You know, are you being realistic about how that money's going to grow? You know, this past decade, with the exception of this year, this past decade, the market went up and up and up no matter what was going on. People get used to that, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm having a conversation with someone who says, you know, as long as my account can just make 14% a year throughout retirement, I should be fine. Well, you are not going to be if you need the account to grow by 14% per year. You know, so are we being realistic about that stuff? But I really like having those conversations because it can be overwhelming and very daunting. And I can imagine people that have managed things on their own. You know, a lot of folks we sit down with manage things on their own. A lot of them have advisors. And a lot of them aren't unhappy with those advisors. But again, you don't know what you don't know. So you come and just have a conversation and let's just spend that time talking about you, talking about retirement and the rest of your life.
So if you'd like to go through that process now, reach out, call or text. Either leave a message or shoot us a text, including your name in that text. We'll get back with you later and schedule a time for you to get your complimentary Money Map Retirement Review. 800-705-1232 is the number to call or text. 800-705-1232. You're not going to talk to anybody right now. You'll just leave a message. So don't worry. If you're driving and you don't have your calendar in front of you, that's okay. We'll deal with those logistics later. For now, just call while it's on your mind and let us know you'd like the Money Map Retirement Review. 800-705-1232. Eric, thank you, as always, for your wisdom.
Always wonderful to be here, John. Got a little fantasy talk in there, too. Maybe next week we'll be getting some tips.
You can
on
give
our
us
mailbag.
A full breakdown of your roster. Well, thanks for tuning in to Money Wisdom, and we'll talk with you again next week. Same time, same place.
Money Wisdom is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti. Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered through JN Financial, LLC. Johnson Brunetti is a paid sponsor of the UConn Huskies athletic program.
Better Money is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti.